Have you ever listened to the advice and stories Ginger shares on this podcast and wondered how her children feel about it? Are you curious about what her now adult kids might do differently when they are parents? Lord willing, no pressure, you guys. Would you like to see Ginger sit in the hot seat for a little while? I know I would. Well, then we are so glad you're joining us for today's Q&A episode with Wesley and Alex. I'm your host, Katie Morgan, and welcome to Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. Ginger is the best-selling author of Don't Make Me Count 3, Wise Words for Moms, and I Can't Believe You Just Said That. She speaks at women's events, parenting conferences, and homeschooling conventions across the country. You can check out her parenting resources and find out when she's speaking in or near your area at gingerhubbard.com. If you enjoy this podcast and find it encouraging, would you prayerfully consider partnering with us by making a monthly or even a one-time end-of-the-year donation? Listeners, your support helps us to sustain this podcast and keep it on the air. So if you feel led to partner with us, please just go to gingerhubbard.com/support to donate any amount. And thank you so much for your support, listeners. This enables us to further our mission, to help parents reach the hearts of their children for the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I just love waking up in the morning, curling up in my comfy chair with a warm cup of coffee, and reading the daily news. Did you just tense up? Because I did. Honestly, I sense myself wanting to avoid the news at all costs and shield my children from it as well. But what if there was a better way to be informed without being disheartened? Well, that's exactly what I love about the world and everything in it. This podcast from World News Group is my favorite source for current events because I can get sound journalism from a Christian worldview without the hysteria, the chaos, and the stress. As one of Apple Podcasts' top 100 news programs, they deliver essential headlines, field reporting, interviews, and expert analysis every weekday. Search for The World and Everything in It wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Katie, you could not have opened this show with better questions, and you hit the nail on the head about me being in the hot seat today.
I love it.
I have to confess that I am a little bit nervous because neither of my kids have ever had any problem with sharing what they really think about things. All I have to say is, help me, Jesus, and thank God for editing.
Yeah, you don't do the editing.
Oh, that's true. So basically, I'm at everyone's mercy.
I'm excited.
No, I'm just kidding. It's such an honor to have my kids on the show today, and I do want both of them to share as the Lord leads. But before they do, let me give them a proper introduction. In addition to being the best kids a mother could ever ask for, Wesley and Alex have grown into two of the kindest, most genuine, others-oriented people I know. Being their mom is truly one of the greatest blessings in my life. And the best of times are the times that we're all together. Wesley is 30. He's a junior sous chef at J.C. Holdway, which is a fancy upscale restaurant in Knoxville, Tennessee. So listeners, if you guys are in the Knoxville area or ever plan to be in the Knoxville area, I highly recommend you check out J.C. Holdway. The food is, of course, excellent because Wesley's there. And if you do go, be sure to tell them that I sent you.
Hey, Ginger, Wesley, I think this is the last year you can give his age, though. Like, over the age of 30, you stop telling people how old your kids are.
Yeah. I still tell people my age. I don't always. 54. Actually, I'm about to be 55 now. So maybe I need to start giving mine as well.
Yeah. We gotta keep the age thing going, I say.
Yeah. When I'm getting over 30, we need to stop sharing that information. That's not as cute anymore.
I thought that Katie meant, like, legally you can't announce it after 30.
I'm sorry. Our attorney just called and said we can no longer share that information.
So that's where Wesley is. And of course, he has aspirations to have his own restaurant one day, which is super exciting for us for two reasons. One, he is the best cook I know. And two, we'll get to eat all of his delicious creations free. Alex is 28. So, Al, you're under 30. I can still say 28.
Yeah, you still do.
So, Alex is 28. And she is married to one of my favorite people in the whole world, Joshua Cody.
He's 27, so everyone knows.
He married an older woman.
He did.
And so Alex and Josh live less than 7 miles away from us here in Opelika, Alabama, which is a huge blessing because we get to spend lots of time with them and we love it. Alex works for me as my social media and shipping manager and ministry assistant. Very thankful for all she does for us, even helping with various things with the podcast sometimes. And she is also a fantastic travel agent. So whenever you guys, listeners, when y'all get ready for your next trip, Alex is the best travel agent you will ever find. So we'll be sure to put her website and contact information in the show notes because she would love to help you guys plan your next vacation. Well, Wesley and Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Happy to be here.
And before you two start answering all these listener questions that were sent in, I want y'all to think long and hard about that verse that talks about honoring your parents. I've got my wise words for moms chart right here, and I'm not afraid to use it.
She's got her well-worn copy of her wise words for mom's chart, the original. This is going to be fun. Okay, we'll start with Jessica, who says she is a fellow Alabamian. I can't say Alabama without saying it like that. She wrote in with several great questions for Wesley and Alex. So Jessica writes this: my two girls are 2 and 4, and I have one on the way. I am so appreciative of your podcast and listen to it over and over. I fall asleep to it at night, hoping to soak up all the wisdom I can.
I don't know. Fall asleep. Is that a good thing?
Yeah,
That's like we're boring.
I fall asleep to my favorite podcasts. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I take that as a compliment. Yes.
All right. We'll take it.
Thank you so much for coming to the microphone and showing up for us every week. I feel like I can tackle way more mishaps since I have a plan tacked to the wall. My wise words for mom's chart. When I heard no one had sent in questions for your children, and by the way, listeners, we asked for questions a long, long time ago, and we have postponed this episode a few times, so this is why we're just now bringing it. But we had also mentioned in an episode that we hadn't gotten any questions yet, but she said, I immediately had questions flood my brain. So here we go. Do you think being a student of Wise Words for Moms helped you outside of the house? In school, for instance, did you treat others the way you wanted them to treat you? Do you whine and complain less because of what your mom instilled in you at home?
Well, I don't know personally if I complained less. I'm hoping so. And my mom's books are definitely full of the mistakes that I made. They gave her plenty of material for what not to do. But the questions mom asked me when I was growing up 100% made me start to think of how my actions affected other people. They instilled a moral compass in me that was others-oriented and not self-seeking, especially when I got older. With work, being a roommate, a sibling, a wife, and so on, putting others first is what I try to do, although with my sinful nature, I will never be perfect at that. You know, specifically with arriving places on time. I'm working on that one for my husband's sake. That's a pet peeve of his that I'm working on. My mom can definitely tell you better how I acted as a kid, but my actions and theological opinions were shaped by the simple questions mom asked me growing up.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with some of the points Alex made. I don't know if I complained less. I hope so. But I might complain more as an adult than I did growing up. So I might need to go ahead and refer back to the chart.
I have an extra copy right here. Yeah. You can hang it in your own kitchen.
I might need it in every room, honestly.
Yeah, I have several around the house.
Well, I think growing up in a home that was grounded in biblical teachings definitely shaped the way I treat others, both growing up and as an adult.
Okay, so I have a quick question that I hadn't planned to ask, but it came to me, Alex, when you said what you did about being in your mom's books. And it makes me wonder, because you guys are frequently mentioned in the books.
We're just famous.
And you're so gracious, because I know that your mom would not have shared the story she did without your permission. But it does, it just piqued my curiosity about what that's like to have books about, you know, things in your childhood. And, you know, do you ever think about that? Because a lot of people, like a lot, have read these books.
So that was definitely a learning curve for me, because when I used to read them, I was so prideful when I was like, little. I was like, look at this story about my first lie. Isn't it so cute? And mom would be like, Alex, no, you don't need to be prideful about the first time you lied. I was like, fine.
And so basically you felt like the books made you famous.
Yeah. Oh.
The books shaped The books shaped who I am today.
Maybe for all the wrong reasons. But yeah, I mean, I was prideful about those when I was a kid, but as an adult, I see it much more as an opportunity to use what was not good for good. So,
yeah. What's going to be really funny is when you guys have kids of your own and they go and read the things you did as a kid and then start using that against you.
But then you decide this is what not to do.
Right. That's when it's going to get really interesting for you guys.
No, I really appreciate them allowing me to share the stories that they do. But both of them were wonderful, wonderful kids. But, you know, they're just like all kids and like the parents before them, they are sinners. So they've always been so gracious to let me share some of the things that, and I don't just share the mistakes that they made. I share a lot of the mistakes that I made as a parent too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is part of how God uses our humility to help encourage folks. So
absolutely.
I'm grateful for their permission.
Well, and I remember not long ago, we were at one of your conferences and I was in the audience in the back of the room and you had one of the demonstrations on the screen where I was playing the Lion Game. Yeah, and I had all the stripes, and I was
in your underwear.
I thought about that.
After she gave the talk about this slide with me on it, she said, "And he's actually in the room with us today," and pointed in the back, and all the heads turned towards me, and I'm just like, "Hey, it's me."
I felt like you were there in your underwear.
Yeah.
Oh, some people have nightmares about things like that, Wesley. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was just happy to be there.
That is so funny. All right, we've got another listener question from Jessica, and here's what she says. Do you think having listened to scripture-driven discipline as a child and teen helped you come to know Jesus? Your mom talks about how we as parents can't change our children's hearts, but how we can help disciple them towards Jesus. When did you finally come to know Jesus, and do you think the discipling your mom gave you had a role in that?
Well, I definitely think it did. I was around lots of scripture and lots of scripture-driven discipline at home and at church. So, I mean, it definitely had a role in the timing of my salvation, but I don't think it did necessarily with my salvation in general. So I got saved when I was about 8 years old, but I don't think I understood what it really meant to have a relationship with Jesus until a few years later.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking back, it seems like everything that mom did was really centered around her desire for us to know Jesus. She definitely used the moments before and after we were disciplined to highlight our need for a savior. I became a Christian when I was 7, and it felt like our home was just always filled with encouragement towards having a relationship with God. Deuteronomy 6 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And mom just took so many opportunities, like mentioned in this verse, just to talk about Jesus in our daily lives. So she undoubtedly had a role in encouraging me in my faith. But like Wesley, though, my personal relationship with Jesus matured as I got older. Although I was a Christian and I became one when I was little, I would say my actual genuine relationship with God didn't start to mature until I was pursuing him more fervently about 2 years after I graduated college.
Okay. Well, do you think the constant discipline and scripture that your mom repeated to you after every time you got in trouble had a heart hardening effect? Although Ginger has talked about this and given a great explanation, I still feel the constant redirection towards scripture. And by the way, this is our listener's question continued. She says, "I still feel the constant redirection towards scripture will cause resentment in my children towards the Bible and ultimately Jesus."
Well, I mean, I think we can all agree discipline itself is not a fun experience, but I was being disciplined because my heart wasn't right in the first place. So there is a verse I like about that. It's Hebrews 12:11, and it says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Ultimately, I think the heart-probing questions that my mom implemented during times of discipline have stuck with me and are helpful for me as an adult. So there's actually another verse I'll bring up, Proverbs 22:6, and that one says, "Start children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it."
That's really good. I was personally such a tender-hearted kid. Looking back, I don't think I ever felt my heart harden when it came to being disciplined. I was just always reduced to a puddle of tears most of the time. The way mom would talk to us during those hard moments of discipline, I mean, she was always calm, always telling us how much she loved us and redirecting us back to the gospel. Honestly, it felt the opposite of heart hardening because it kept us looking to the Lord instead of just sitting there stewing in our own sin and becoming callous to the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Mm, that's good. Okay. I don't know if Ginger's ready for this question.
Uh-oh.
What would you do differently, if anything, from your childhood and how your mom instilled discipline in the home?
Oh, here we go.
That is a hard one.
Everything. Mm. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I could answer it for sure. I bet Alex would have a really great answer for it. But I mean, I think it'll probably be similar, but ultimately a decision I would have to make between me and my future wife. But I already know I'll be calling my mom and asking for her advice all the time.
No doubt. Oh, yeah. No.
My husband and I have talked about this to a decent extent, actually. I'm so thankful that we were raised with nearly identical discipline methods. We plan to do everything pretty much the same that mom did in regards to discipline. The only difference is that mom was primarily the one to always administer the discipline when Wesley and I were growing up, while Josh and I have agreed to share that responsibility. When it comes to things outside of discipline, Josh and I have talked about a few things we want to do differently. We want to approach the subject of sex differently with our kids and still encouraging God's design for sex, of course, but make it less of a behind closed doors kind of taboo conversation and something talked more openly about at home. Another thing we plan to do differently is to be more strict with our kids, with our phones and social media accounts, mainly because it's just changed so much since I was growing up. Like when mom did it, she did a wonderful job handling everything because it was so different. But now it's just had such a negative, significant impact on the younger generations.
Mm-hmm. It was just so much more readily available.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. Yeah. So, yeah. And let me just say a couple of things here. First, Alex, I love how you mentioned that you and Josh already know how you want to raise your children, that you've already talked about that. I'd like to point out that you guys had those kinds of discussions before you even married. I think that is so wise to have those premarital conversations regarding lots of issues, just to ensure that spiritual and moral values are compatible. That can just save so much heartache in the long run. You really can't know who you're marrying without having those conversations. So it's so much better to not wait until you're married, but to go ahead and talk about these big issues, how you're going to parent, what you believe about, you know, different parenting methods before you actually commit to getting married, because those are huge issues that can really cause a lot of ruffles in marriage if you're not on the same page. And Alex, I remember you and Josh going through a book of, it seems like it was a book that just had questions for couples before you guys got married that guided you into conversations on important topics. What do you remember that book?
Yeah. Well, actually, we did a few things. One of the things we did was a bunch of question cards leading up to our marriage day, which was really fun. We timed it to where we had one question a day, which was super fun just to get to know each other more and more. But what you're talking about is actually a devotional that Josh wanted us to go through. Like, I think we started going through it a month into our dating relationship, if not earlier. Really showed me his heart for the Lord, which was wonderful. It was called Single, Dating, Engaged, Married by Ben Stewart. And it was just a devotional that we went through together.
Okay. Yeah. I just remember that was so beneficial for both. I remember listening to you guys have some of those conversations. I might've been eavesdropping a little bit.
She had the other line picked up like, oh, that just showed my age. Like who has a line anymore?
When was the last time that
who has a landline? Never mind. I'm cutting that out. All right, go ahead.
Anyway, but I know it really benefited you guys, Alex. So we'll put a link to the show notes in that for folks. As far as talking to your kids about sex, I'm very thankful that you'll be taking a different approach because looking back, I think my own sinful past played a big part in why I wasn't as open to talk about sex as I believe that I should have been. I struggled with a lot of shame for many years, some of the poor decisions that I made as a teenager, which unfortunately shaped my unhealthy approach to having those conversations with you guys. But there's no reason to be secretive or hush-hush or, as Alex said, taboo about something that God sanctions as beautiful between a husband and wife. God talks openly about sex, and I really wish that I had followed that example. And I don't mean to make light of my unhealthy approach, but I have to tell this story because I think it's hilarious. There was once a preacher who was invited to give a talk at a women's health conference, and his wife asked him which topic he was supposed to talk about, and he was too embarrassed to tell her that he had been asked to talk about sex. Thinking quickly, he said, "I'm talking about sailing." So the next day at the grocery store, a young woman who had attended the conference recognized the preacher's wife, and she said, "That was certainly an excellent talk your husband gave yesterday. He really has a unique perspective on the subject." Somewhat confused, the preacher's wife replied, "Funny you should think so. I mean, he's only done it twice. The first time he threw up, and the second time his hat blew off."
Wait, is that true? Where did you hear that? That's amazing.
I read it somewhere. I thought it was pretty funny. It's a prime. I just lighten the mood a little bit here. Get me out of the hot seat and tell somebody else's
story.
She's
deflecting is what's happening.
Deflecting, that's what I'm doing.
Have your kids ever come to you with math homework and ask for your help, only for you to realize you did a mathematical brain dump the day you graduated high school? Well, I have great news for you, parents. Whether you're homeschooling or helping your kids with their math homework after school, CTC Math is an invaluable resource. They have video tutorials and summaries that are concise and really engaging while still fully covering the subject matter. It's like having your own personal math tutor accessible at any time. I have so many favorite things about CTC Math, but just to name a few, I get extensive reports and summaries of my kids' progress. We have access to CTC Math's entire catalog of lessons, not just per grade level, as many online math programs do. And finally, there is a 365-day money-back guarantee, literally no questions asked. If you or your kids need some extra help with math, go to ctcmath.com and sign up for a free trial. Again, that's ctcmath.com.
So that's a funny story I read, but it is a prime example of having an unhealthy view of talking about sex. It's not an embarrassing or shameful topic. It's a holy union that God created. As a matter of fact, Katie, you and I did an episode on talking to kids about sex. Mm-hmm. I think it's been within the last year. So we will put a link to that. If that's something that you struggle with, like it was something that I struggled with, we did a lot of research and had some really good content in there for helping parents talk to kids about sex in natural and age-appropriate ways. So we will put a link to that in the show notes.
Yep. So I'll be honest, you guys, I didn't think a conversation with Ginger's kids was going to include quite this much sex conversation. So I'm not sure how to transition after a story like Ginger just told. But I think it's great, Alex, that you want to go ahead and know the ways you want to share these things with your future children, Lord willing, because it never does cease to amaze me how many parents just avoid these conversations and expect that their kids will have a healthy view of sex. I mean, if we don't have these conversations openly, honestly, way earlier than we think feels normal, then we shouldn't be surprised if they find out about sex from someone with a very different worldview, even some device. I mean, it's going to happen. They will encounter that. So anyway, okay, continuing with the question, it says, "My children are still very young, but how can I be a mom who they come to with their failures and mistakes without fear of being punished or rebuked?" That's a great question. I know your mom talked about how she switched to more guidance counselor mode when you became teenagers. Did you find that that helped? I desperately want my child to be able to come to me with anything they feel they need to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed feeling like as an adult, I could just come to my mom for guidance and she would give me her honest opinion about things. And we just had an open line of communication there. That was awesome. I think I felt more comfortable doing that because I was supported and trusted to make the right decisions. What about you, Alex?
Oh, yeah. I mean, mom definitely has the right idea to be strict when kids are little and to plant that firm foundation and then loosen the reins as they get older. I mean, I came to mom about basically everything. I mean, sometimes she was like, "That's too much information."
No more details, please.
Alex, I'm going to need a minute.
I mean, I came to her about any ideas that I had, my successes, and plenty of failures, too. And I still come to mom for advice. I mean, we are so close that we can tell when something is wrong with each other. We can just look at each other and know. I remember times when she'd just ask what was wrong, and then I'd just be reduced to a puddle of tears while confessing my latest teenage failure. only to be totally showered with love and encouragement of God's grace and forgiveness. Mm. And that's the key when they're little as well. And mom didn't judge me when she parented me with her God-given authority. If I lied, she wouldn't scream at me that I was a liar and command me to go to my room. She'd gently tell me I was being disobedient, tell me to go to my room, and that she'd be there in a few minutes. And then afterwards, she would pray with me, tell me how much she loved me and how much God loved me. And as an adult, I know I can come to my mom with anything. And I do.
Mm, I love that. Okay, these next two questions come from Lana in Oklahoma, who writes this. Hi, I have had your chart for several years and your books, and I love them, and I'm enjoying the podcast so much. I would love to hear from your kids on what they say their childhood felt like looking back. How do they think it impacted their sibling relationship, and will they do things much the same with their kids? And I'll go ahead and ask the next question. She says, also, I'd love to hear what your kids felt worked well for your blended family. Overcoming divorce while maintaining a biblical worldview for your family and standing firm on those principles moving forward is such a unique perspective, and I'll second that. It's not one covered much in biblical parenting, and I would love to hear your advice and experiences.
Well, mom set a biblical foundation for the way Alex and I should treat each other. So I'm glad she was there for Alex's sake, because I could be a bully sometimes.
The lion game.
Yeah, the lion game, throwing rocks. So, you know, Alex was very forgiving, and then we would just go right back outside and play or build a fort in the living room, whatever. We thought we were pretty creative when it came to figuring out how to entertain ourselves before I guess we got a PlayStation or something later on down the road. But I had a great childhood, and I hope my kids have a similar experience. But as far as the step-sibling thing and the blended family, we were super lucky because we were all roughly the same age, like a few years apart, and we all had similar interests. And so that made it easy. And then we all knew that God had plans for us, because when we all went through the divorce, and then that led to a new beginning, and we were all excited about it, and we were all very much at peace, and we knew mom and Ronnie were good together. So it was pretty easy, honestly.
Oh, yeah. We had a really great childhood. I mean, having mom there to guide us as siblings and training us to put each other first above ourselves really helped us learn how to navigate the world as adults. And Wes, I mean, you might have been a bully, but I was the one agreeing to have the rock fight in the backyard, so I was a pretty easy target.
Yeah, I don't remember the consent with that, but I mean, if you want to go for round two, you know, you can do it.
You know,
rock fight.
Wait, where was that during the? I don't remember rock.
Yeah, where
fight.
Was your we mother? Bullying. That's pretty bad. Is what I want to know.
We're literally in the backyard in the creek, just throwing, chucking rocks across. We had no rules, or we did, but they didn't help.
She was sitting on the couch eating bonbons, watching soap operas, is what I think was happening.
She was writing the charts, and we were writing
books. She's writing parenting books while you guys are having rock fights.
Oh my gosh!
Now the truth comes out. I knew it was going to happen, Ginger.
Amazing. You know, like Wesley said, we were really lucky when it came to becoming a blended family. I mean, I don't know if I can offer a lot of advice for what worked well, just because our family worked. Like, God just, gosh, he blessed it. It felt ordained by God. It makes me emotional just to think about it. But, I mean, like, we were meant to be a family, and any conflict from a sibling perspective just felt like normal sibling stuff.
I have to say, though, I mean, it's absolutely the sovereignty of God, but also a testament to Ginger and Ronnie and how you consistently instilled the word of God in them. And I can tell just watching you guys interact with your adult kids now, just how God-centered your home is and probably was from the moment you two got married. So it's been fun to see on this side. I didn't know you guys as kids, but just seeing you as adults and the way that you interact, I'm just, it is very unique as far as blended families are concerned. So, you know, Alex, I agree with you there that God really just had his hand on this whole union. So it's been.
And that's where we give the glory. It is by God's grace that we are so blessed.
Amen.
Now is the part of our show where we share a funny kid quip from one of our listeners. Today's kid quip is courtesy of Wesley and Alex. This should be good. Okay, Wesley, you go first.
Okay. Well, mom gave us a little memory book when we got older, And it contained little funny short stories and memories of us when we were maybe like ages 2 to 9 or 10. But I opened it a few months ago and I couldn't stop laughing. I was reading all the entries and loving like all these little things that she thought were funny about my personality. And I haven't read all of them yet because I just kind of want to savor it for later. Like I don't want to read it all at once. But one of my favorite stories was when, Mom, you had sent me to my room and I turned to you and said, okay, I'm never going to come out. And then, of course, I came out. But I love that story.
You eventually left your room.
I left my room.
Wes, you also packed a backpack one time and announced that you were running away. And I remember you packed your Cheerios, a pillow, and your teddy bear. And you ran all the way to the side of the house and stayed there for all of 15 minutes before you caved and came back inside. Such the prodigal. But what you didn't know is that I was keeping an eye on you the whole time from the window.
Well, I had no idea you were looking at me through the window, but I'll say like after about 15 minutes and the Cheerios ran out, I couldn't really figure out how to make it out there, with the owls and nature. And then I probably got stung by a bee or something. So
you're not a survivor man, are you, Wesley?
No, not at all.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I love the books that Mom gave us. I think she gave them to us for our high school graduation, and they're just like the sweetest gifts. So the story that she wrote about me was I was 6 years old and visiting a family out of town, and I went with them to their very tiny church one Sunday morning. And before church started, I ran up on stage and secretly whispered something into the pastor's ear. And right before the service began, the pastor announced to the congregation, "Before we get started, we have a special treat. Miss Alex will come and play Mary Had a Little Lamb on the piano." Mom got on to me when I came home for doing that without asking permission, obviously. But my response was, "Well, everyone clapped."
Oh, she's not wrong. Oh, that's good.
Yep, and they did. Alex, always the performer.
Love that. Well, listeners, if you have a kid quip for our show, we would love to hear from you. It can be any funny thing your child or grandchild has said, or it can even be something funny you said as a child. Just go to gingerhubbard.com/kidquips. That's Q-U-I-P-S to submit those. Well, Wesley and Alex, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And would one of you be willing to leave our listeners with a final word of encouragement?
Well, I just want to say thank you, Mom, and thank you, Katie, for letting me come on the show. And then I'm going to go ahead and give the mic over to Alex for the final word of encouragement.
I thought that might happen.
She's a little more talkative.
Yeah.
So for the parents that are concerned that if you are consistent with discipline and constantly refer back to scripture and the gospel during those hard times of discipline with your kids, just please don't worry. I mean, God gave us the Bible. If we doubt his word, what else are we going to base our parenting on? Our feelings? I mean, Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The enemy would love nothing more for us to think we know better than God and to trust our sinful instincts as a better way to raise children. Point your children to Christ during discipline, because what could possibly be a better thing to point them to? I mean, if Mom had left the room immediately after administering discipline, I would have thought she was mad at me. If right afterwards she had switched to a new topic of conversation or handed me a toy to play with, I would have doubted the severity of my sin problem. If she would have jumped into how amazing I was as a daughter and how I made a mistake, but everything is fine and peachy and I'm the most amazing and most beautiful daughter in the world, then I would have missed the whole point. But she didn't. She sat with me intentionally in that moment in my bedroom. She told me that she loved me too much to let me sin, and she would speak verses with me, then she would pray with me, and then she would quietly leave so I could have a few minutes to myself. Today's culture says that kids should be told that they are perfect, just as they are, and that parents should be affirming to them that everything they need can be found inside of themselves. But that is an incredible disservice. Discipline is an opportunity, a chance to point out their fallen nature and to tell them that they are not enough and that that's okay, because Jesus is enough. Use those moments as a God-given opportunity to point them to Jesus, because there is absolutely nothing better that parents can do in those moments.
Well, thank you so much, Wesley and Alex. And thank you, Ginger, for being brave enough to let your kids come on the show today. You can exhale now.
I can exhale.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If your church might be interested in hosting Ginger and Me for a women's event or bringing in Ginger for a parenting conference, please fill out the contact form at gingerhubbard.com and we'll get back to you with more information. Also on gingerhubbard.com, you can find Ginger's wonderful resources that will help you get to the heart of outward behavior and address it from a biblical perspective. Not sure which resource to get? Well, today we're offering a bundle deal of all of Ginger's resources at a $25 discount. This includes her parenting books and study guides, the Wise Words for Moms chart, as well as the CD and digital download of her audio series called Reaching the Heart of Your Child. This is a $95 value for only $70. And if you use the code parenting at gingerhubbard.com, you can get an additional 10% off this already great deal. Thank you so much for joining us today, listeners. We look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, may God bless you as you seek to reach the hearts of your children for the glory of God. Have you ever been at a total loss for how to explain to your kids some of the really hard things they've seen in our culture or in the news? Sometimes I resort to distraction, like, hey, who wants ice cream? Because I'm just not sure how to rightly respond. This is why I'm so excited about a new podcast that is stepping in to meet that need. The podcast is called Concurrently, and each episode is full of practical help so that we can teach our kids how to develop news literacy and biblical discernment. To find out more, visit concurrentlypodcast.com, and you can listen to new episodes of Concurrently every Wednesday wherever you get your podcasts. When our kids watch secular shows or read secular books, they'll often come across something that directly contradicts the Bible, and they'll ask, "Is that true, Mom? Did we come from apes? Is the Earth billions of years old? Are there aliens on other planets?" Our kids are growing up in a world that desperately needs the light of God's Word, and it's increasingly more important to me that the resources I use to educate my children are from a biblical worldview. I want to give my kids a sound education coupled with a biblical worldview so that they grow into adults who know not only what they believe, but why they believe it. This is why we love BJU Press. They offer trusted resources for homeschooling through video courses or parent-led instruction. Their video courses are taught by knowledgeable and engaging experts in their fields, and what's great about video courses is that all of your kids can work independently and at their own pace. But if facilitating your child's homeschooling is more your speed, BJU Press offers numerous resources so that you can manage the different learning styles of your child, know what your student is learning so you can influence instruction, and create a totally customized learning experience. BJU Press Homeschool offers resources to meet the educational needs of your family in a way that will equip your kids for a life of gospel impact. Go to bjupresshomeschool.com and get what you need to give your child a solid biblical education. Again, that's bjupresshomeschool.com.
If that's something that you struggle with, like it was a struggle for me, we recommend that episode because we gave lots of examples of doing it right. So we will definitely put a link in the show notes if that's something that you struggle with.
Doing sex right, talking to your
talking,
kids.
Talking,
oh my God.
You know what I mean.
Let's back up.
Okay. Sorry.
Thanks for noticing that.
Take two.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us as well. If your church might be interested in, well, that sounds like we're not even here for them. Just thanks for being here too, you
Alex.
Guys. I mean, hang on a sec.
Alex.
We already had a blooper and I wanted to freak Katie out more.
Oh, what'd she do?
Nothing. You'll hear it later.
Oh, okay.